Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. We know that this is John talking, right? John the apostle talking. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like jasper and like a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature was like the face of a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes all around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. That was wild. What a wild scene. So, one of the things that, in the beginning of that chapter, he says, these are things which must come to pass. Because you might almost want to say, these are things that already have been. Because in a sense, it's a picture of creation. It's a picture of God creating things. Because we know the Word of God says, in the beginning, God said, right? God said that he creates. And you hear all of these voices that are emanating from the throne of God. And so you can see with these thunders and lightnings and voices coming forth that you're talking about the continuing of God creating. So God is prolific. God is creative. I know I've been saying that. I've been driving you crazy with that. He never stops creating. And your destiny is part of what he's creating today. Those voices that are coming forth, because back then John said, these things must yet come to pass. The voices, the thunders and the lightnings, are you lighting up to your destiny? You fulfilling your destiny? God speaking things into the reality through your life, through the life of his body, through the life of believers, the things which must come to pass. We are the body of Christ. We're doing God's will here on earth. It's really important. Really important that God is dynamic, that God is creative, that God is prolific. Very, very important. We do not worship a static God. Because we have an old book, that doesn't mean we have a static God. From the book, we get the Logos. The Logos is what? We said a couple of weeks ago, the logic of God. That's where the word logic comes from, Logos. From the book, from God's scripture, from the word of God, we get the logic of God. It's not the logic of science. It's not the logic of man. It's not naturalism. It's the logic of God comes to us through the word of God. These elders are overwhelmed. And it's probably a thing that grieves me as much as anything, because worship tends to diminish. Even as Christian life goes on, it tends to be a diminishing sort of thing. We get saved, we get born again, we're really excited for God. We really focus on Him, we really worship Him, we really receive the Spirit coming back to us through our worship. But as time goes on, it tends to be like almost entropy takes over, right? Gravity takes over in it, and it can be a slog. You know, however, somehow these elders can continue around this throne to keep falling down. Every time the creatures who are flying say, holy, 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 these 24 elders are overwhelmed all over again. They're overwhelmed. There's like the touchdown scored in the Super Bowl. They're overwhelmed. You know, it's like they can't keep their attention off of Him. And that overwhelmed sense that they have causes them to do certain things. Number one, fall down. And number two, cast their crowns. And we'll talk a little bit about that. So these elders are watching this amazing power as they surround this throne. They're rapt with attention. They're fixated. They're overwhelmed. And they respond with, listen to me now, they respond with alarming generosity. As a golden crown on their head. You don't just go throwing some golden crown. You don't take your gold and throw it down. That is alarming generosity. Not only is it giving up their authority, but it's amazing, over-the-top, crazy generosity. It's taking their wealth, not only their power, but their wealth. Those are crowns of gold. It's taking their wealth and throwing it at His feet. So somehow, when we get a connection with this God seated upon the throne, we get a sense of who He is, what it creates in us is a spontaneous reaction whereby we become like crazy generous. And they abandon their seats of power. And that whole abandonment of the seat of power is a lot more difficult than you may think. It's whatever position you hold in life, whatever title you give yourself, whatever even self-esteem you attribute to yourself. It's all of that. That's your seat. That's your throne. The throne is your ego. That's where you're seated upon your throne. And it's casting that. It's falling down before that throne. It's letting God be the God of everything. It's letting God be the God of everything. It's being all in with God. It's being all in. It's not being socially acceptably in. It's saying, I'm overwhelmed by this vision, this throne, these voices, thunder and lightning, flying creatures, smoke, eyes all around. Holy, holy, holy. What is holy? What is holy? Innocence. Environment of complete holiness, purity, no off-color joke, no backhanded compliment, no envy, no stubbornness, no cowardice. Innocence restored. Just some secular singer who sings a song about how he wishes that he could drink again from the cup of innocence. How he was made old too young. That's what we do in our culture today. We make children old too young. That we could restore the cup of innocence. Yeah? Because you know what? Once that cup is empty, you can never refill it. Now we take of Jesus' innocence, attribute it to ourselves. Yeah? Okay. And this is the thing that's been in my brain, okay? they fall down, and you could say how many things about God? You could say how many things about God? A gazillion things about God. But what is the summation of their awe and wonder? For you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We are trained in our culture to look around and see natural phenomena. That's what we see. We see nature and we say, wow, nature is amazing. It's a product, we are taught, of a mindless, unguided cosmic Big Bang. We today have a priesthood of scientists and theoreticians, philosophers, and we see beauty for beauty's sake, and we consider not the mind and the power of the one who created all things. It's the way we're trained. It's our worldview. It's not your fault. It's the way you were trained. It's your worldview. And it's a very hard thing to replace, to come to the place where you can have this kind of awe that these elders have and look at the creation as if it's God's creation. You have created all things. You have created all things. You are responsible for that tree. You are responsible for these people. You are responsible for books and language. You are responsible for the solar system and the far reaches of space. You created all things. So when you find God's logic, there is no higher logic. I know that it doesn't impress the folks at the cocktail party. I know. But it's truth. We see beauty for beauty's sake. Consider not the mind and the power of the one who created all things. Because of our inability to see from our deepest heart that we are creatures made in God's image for God's purposes, for spirit, truth, love, honesty, blessing, life, goodness, godliness, we take scripture as therapy rather than reality. We use it to fix up what we feel bad about. Scripture makes us to build our self-esteem in a culture, in a society that's devastating to self-esteem. You can never be pretty enough, you never can be rich enough, you never can be strong enough, you never can be fast enough, you never can be anything enough. This is a devastating culture to live in. So now, scripture is therapy, by the way, very therapeutic, by the way, but it's also truth. And it's truth about all things. And if you can ever connect with that, that you have a close relationship, you've been invited into this throne room, around this circle with these elders around there, you've been invited to this place, and you really begin to understand that God created all things and nothing can happen on this earth apart from his knowledge and will. See, then you start getting what we call attitude. It's a Pauline type attitude. It's the attitude of the Apostle Paul, who wasn't always that nice, but he sure was strong and feisty, right? You get beaten with rods and thrown into a jail for preaching the gospel, and your reaction is to sing hymns. I love that guy. I want to moan and groan. I want to complain. God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know? Come on, Silas, let's sing a song. What a mighty God we serve. Hey, jailer, listen. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. In him we live and move. See? Remember, the next time you get put in jail, sing it just like that. So how do we remake our mind and our thinking? And that's where kind of we're going. How do we cleanse ourselves so we actually can buy into God in the fullest possible way without looking wacky, frankly? I mean, can we do this and maintain some sense of normalcy? I really think we can. So Matthew 12:33 says this. Either make the 12:33 forward. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers. That's gentle Jesus saying that. How can you be being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. If Jesus said, as we just read, that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. And most Christians will say, well, I'm glad I have Jesus because that doesn't count for me. But he doesn't actually give that exception in this scripture. Because actually he goes on and he says, by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. So if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you'll still give account for every idle word ever spoken. However, knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and entering into his plan, those words ought to be a whole lot more wholesome than if you didn't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I'm talking about two different kinds of words. Words that you speak that you shouldn't have spoken, and words that you don't speak that you should have spoken. So there are things that we say that we shouldn't have said that come out of the abundance of our hearts, and things that we don't say that we should have said that we're responsible to say but don't say. Are you with me? We'll make an account for every idle word ever spoken. God is speaking from his creative heavenly throne. We know Jeremiah says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good, plans to prosper, plans to hope. But do you walk them out? Do you take advantage of those plans? So I think those plans are held up in heaven, and it's incumbent upon each of us to respond in such a way as we're cleansing ourselves. We have limited understanding, but and ultimately, the ultimate answer is this. We're going to get back to this simple answer. The logic of God allows you to replace faulty thinking systems so that you can think as God would have you think. As you replace your faulty thinking systems, stinking thinking, they've called it, with God's word, and it dwells in you, and it dwells in you richly, you become less likely, because you're filling the abundance. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're filling the abundance of your heart with God's word. So at least God can say, as he questions you across the timeline of your life, there was a point in time when you discovered Jesus Christ, or you repented, you were backslidden, you repented, whatever you did, and I can see that your confession increased in faithfulness and away from the traps of the devil. Your limited understanding can expand to the point where God mingles his thoughts with your thoughts. The gifts of creativity, revelation, prophecy, discerning of spirits, words of knowledge are all accessible to you. God wants to create through you. All of that stuff that God is doing in that throne room, he wants to do it through you. He's not doing it on two mountains over in a patch of barren woods. He does it through his people. You're the body of Christ. All of that activity is happening in the heavens because God is creating and God is producing and God is refining through his people. Right? Jesus told his disciples, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Think of that. Is Jesus saying that to you or you and I? I have many things yet to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Why couldn't you bear it? Maybe you couldn't be obedient if God were to reveal it to you at this point. Maybe you couldn't believe that God wants to do such a fantastic thing through you. Maybe you're not willing to be obedient to the level that this thing is going to take for you to be. I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them right now. Well, when are we going to be able to bear them? As we process ourselves in the God's word, as we fit ourselves in God's word, and we reprogram the mainframe. Yeah? The disciples would not remain in this condition for long, and neither will you if you follow him closely. When we'll be able to hear what Jesus has to say? Jesus went on to explain how he would get them ready for more and deeper understanding. A paraphrase of John 16, he said, "The Holy Spirit is not only going to reveal you everything that I'm saying, he will reveal your future and things to come. He will teach you from inside out. He is the Spirit of truth. God reveals it to you on the inside, and you bring it to the outside." This is the key, as your mind is interacting intentionally with the Spirit of truth. So we have three ways that we should be renewing our mind intentionally. Number one, walk in all truth. It is possible to have a day-by-day walk with the supernatural mind of God. That is made possible through the Holy Spirit. Remember, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Don't just feed one or two familiar themes. Like I've said frequently to you, on the whole, God's word is not that complementary to our condition. I mean, we can find scriptures here and there that we can all gather around and cheer and root about, but a lot of God's word is about how we get fixed. Because we get broken right in the beginning of God's word. The rest of the word is about how we get fixed. Smiles. Come on, everybody. So, you don't just feed on a couple of familiar themes. Explore the whole Bible, every word. To walk in all truth, you need all word. Your relationship with the Word of God reveals your relationship with God. To be honest with you, if you don't have a relationship with the Word of God, if you're not, your theology, your personal theology isn't established on the Word of God or is an integration of worldly pop theology and the Word of God, you really are missing it. It has to be this submission to God's word. It has to be submitting to God's word as truth. We have to cast our crowns and fall down before the word. Because then God fixates us. He becomes so interesting. When you think it's like religious God of the, 49,000 different churches and variations, and it's a God of some religion, and I got to learn something. No, you never get life there. When you connect with the living God and then read his word as if it's written to you for you, it's rewiring your logic, your boards. So you have to have a relationship with the word of God. I'm sorry, I know no way around it. If you don't read very well, get it on tape or get it on disc or whatever you have to do. Listen to it. Read it. People say I have a lot of books in my library next door, and sometimes that's not a good thing because people think, oh, I got to read a lot of books. No, you don't have to read a lot of books. You have to read one book. First 5 years I was saved, I only read one book, but read it and over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm a Jesus guy. For everything else I read in the Bible, I read a gospel probably 10 times. I want to know about Jesus. That's why when people dispel something like Jesus saying you're going to be judged for every idle word ever spoken, people say, well, that's not for us because we belong to Jesus. Well, how do you prove in eternity that you belong to Jesus? The words of your mouth. Every idle word ever spoken. It kind of says it, gives the answer. It's multiple, it's like a open book test. Okay, sad to say that most of us look at the Bible as if it were boring schoolwork. Truth is, the Bible is a spiritual book that feeds your revelation capacity. Your soul feeds on whatever stimulates your mind and emotions. Your body feeds on physical food. Your spirit feeds on communion with God and his word. It's what makes you spiritually strong. It's what makes you spiritually pure. That's what makes you spiritually astute. It gives you the logic of God. Number two, the words of Jesus are powerful. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life, in John 6:63. They contain within them the logic of God. You have to learn to think how Jesus thinks. That's why so many things are mysterious. The first time I read the Bible, the words of Jesus were so mysterious. When you plug yourself into the Word of God, you literally intravenously tap into the mind of God Himself. God begins by the Holy Spirit to renew your thought paths. Science calls it neuroplasticity. Scientists have found out that you can rewire your brain. By thinking differently and consistently thinking differently, you can rewire your brain. All of those patterns and habits that you've had, you know, from your great-grandpappy on down, and you blame your ethnicity on, or you blame your parents on, or you blame the school on, or you blame somebody else on, you can rewire those paths. You are not stuck in that thinking. God's Word, by God's Spirit, helps you to rewire those paths. Okay? God begins by the Holy Spirit to renew our thoughts. He starts to infuse His truth into you. In the same way a tree feeds the branches that bear fruit, suddenly your soul and your body and your circumstances start to fall under the authority of the very Word of God. Number three, commit Scripture to memory. Tap into God's heart. I can't tell you how important it is to memorize Scripture. Memorize blocks of Scripture. Memorize blocks of Scripture. You should be able to quote Scripture almost on every moral situation that you come up against. There should be Scripture running through your mind about what God says about this or that. That's just the way Christians think. We don't think like everyone else. When you memorize chunks of Scripture, it's like taking a cosmic bleach into your brain that cleanses all the pain, misinformation, and junk that you don't even realize that you've accumulated over a lifetime of exposure to demonic, carnal, and soulish thought structures. As the Word of God takes root in your heart, it grows and becomes a cistern of fresh, clean thinking. A cistern is a well, it's a holding tank. The Word of God becomes a cistern of fresh, clean thinking, and it comes back to you in the moment you need it in ways and in layers that you can hardly imagine. There's a warning against Israel in the Old Testament. He says, you have broken cisterns that can't hold water. You have broken cisterns that can't hold water. So I filled the water of the Word up in you, and it just all leaks out through the cracks and through the brokenness of the cisterns. Folks go out on the street, they've been to church on Sunday, they're all psyched for Jesus, and by Monday morning, all the water's run out. You see, we got to maintain the cistern. We've got to maintain the body of knowledge of the Word of God and refill and refill and refill. As a final note of encouragement, ponder this. Jesus defeated the devil after 40 days of fasting by quoting only one book of the Bible. He didn't fly all over the Old Testament scriptures. Three times he quoted Deuteronomy in response to Satan. Imagine, one book of the Bible is all you need to defeat the most powerful temptations and attacks of the devil. If you memorize it, internalize it, and ready to fire back at the moment of temptation. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Pastor Bob shared a great message today entitled, Rewiring the Mainframe. He shared how we can rewire our thinking and life according to the Word of God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never taken the first step by making Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, will you pray with me today? Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I repent from all my sin today, and I place my life in your hands. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power now. God, I thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, guys, if you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, find a Bible-believing church, and start a prayer life. Those are three key things in a relationship with Christ. If today's message impacted you, would you consider giving to the ministry of On Fire Radio? On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you every week for free. We broadcast on radio stations, and we publish our podcasts online as well. You can give online at cmcconline.org. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be put into your lap. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." So we believe here at On Fire Radio that if you give and sow into the ministry of On Fire Radio, God will bless you back for financially supporting the work of his ministry. You can give online at cmcconline.org. Again, that website is cmcconline.org. If you would like to find out more information on Catskill Mountain Christian Center, On Fire Radio, or other ministries, you can look us up online at cmcconline.org, or you can like us on Facebook and search Catskill Mountain Christian Center. One last time, for Pastor Bob Engelhart, this is Jake Johnson signing off, saying God bless, and we'll see you in church.